Sadly, hindi na bago sa atin ang makapakinig o makapanood ng mga balita sa mga kahindik-hindik na kasalanan. Violence, abuse, murder, even betrayal. We not only see these in the news or in our social media feeds, but also in our lives. And these left us asking, how can something like this ever happen? Bakit nangyayari ang mga ito? Ultimo, ang mga Christian communities and leaders in churches, we have seen how unchecked desires, silence in leadership, and delayed actions can lead to serious harm. This reminds us that sin is not only out there, it can also appear in here sa families, in here sa leadership, in here sa communities that bear the name of Christ. And if we're going to be honest sa ating mga sarili, we don't just ask, and we don't just read stories like that in news, sometimes even closer to home. These raise questions na nahihinaharap na at nahihirapan tayong sagutin. At ano yung tanong na ito? Where is God in moments like these? Why does He seem silent? And what happens when people meant to protect us, people who meant to love us and care for us, are the ones harming us, are the ones causing the problem? These are not new questions. They are the very tensions we encounter in Genesis chapter 34. Please open or turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 34 kung hindi nyo pa ako nabubuksan. Genesis 34 is a passage where God is not explicitly mentioned in a context na kung saan talamak ang kasalanan. Although He was not explicitly mentioned, He is very present sa situation na to. Tayo po ay nagpapatuloy sa ating sermon series in the book of Genesis, the God of Isaac and Jacob, and this will be the last time na aaralin po natin ito for this year. I was hoping na maigapan ko pa yung remaining two chapters para mawakasan mismo yung series ng kay Jacob, ni Isaac at ng kay Jacob. Kasi next year, sisimula na po natin yung story ni Joseph. And I think familiar na kayo kay Joseph starting January, yung Joseph the Dreamer, yun po, yun ang magiging series natin. And after that, hanggang chapter 50, wakas na tayo sa Genesis. Hooray! Pero nawa hindi magwakas to mga katuruan na ito sa ating puso. Last week, nakita natin that God's work of grace sa life ni Jacob. We have seen that his faith was at its peak nung nasa pinyal siya. He wrestled with God and man and prevailed, sabi ron. God gave him a new name, a new identity, a new walk. A walk as a sign that he is trusting the Lord in his weakness. Finally, natutunan ni Jacob that weakness is the way so that God gets the glory. He also had a sweet reconciliation sa kanyang kapatid. Everything was going well. Everything was great. Nakita din natin last week, however, na towards the end, he once again deceived his brother. Umirala na naman ang pagka-Jacob niya. Instead of going directly to Bethel, bukod sa nilinlang niya ulit ang kapatid niya, imbis na dumiretso siya sa Bethel, he made a stop sa Sukkoth and then proceeded to Shechem. Jacob's partial obedience, as we have heard last week, is really disobedience. He compromised and set, and as a result, he will be facing, sa passage na to, grave consequences. That's why my prayer para sa ating ngayong umaga is that we would see the seriousness and destructive reach of human sin in this broken, fallen world. And that we would confront retaliation as an inadequate responses to evil. And to renew our trust in God's unseen but faithful covenant purposes, ultimately pointing them to Christ, the only true source of justice, healing, and redemption. Ang main idea or main argument natin in this passage is this. Despite human sin, God faithfully fulfills His promises. Despite of human sin, God faithfully fulfills His promises. Despite of sin, God is faithful to His people. Divided this passage into three headings. Number one, defilement, verses 1 to 4. Defilement. Number two, deception. Deception, verses 5 hanggang 24. And number three, death. Death, verses 25 to 31. Defilement, deception, and death. Consequences of disobedience. Una, magbubukas ang passage natin sa isang violation na magbubunga ng disorder, brokenness sa loob at labas ng pamilya ni Jacob. Pangalawa, mapapansin natin na sa kalagitnaan ng deceptive and manipulative negotiations ng mga anak ni Jacob, siya'y nanatiling tahimik. And lastly, mapapansin din natin na mas lumalalim ang kasalanan nung sinalakay, pinaslang lahat ang mga kalalakihan ng mga anak ni Jacob and plundered the city. This is a dark passage. Let's jump right in. Number one, defilement. Basahin po natin ito sa English Standard Version. Look at your Bibles. 34 verses 1 hanggang 4. Now Dinah, the daughter of Leah, whom she had borne to Jacob, went out to see the women of the land. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, the prince of the land, saw her, he seized her and lay with her and humiliated her. And his soul was drawn to Dinah, the daughter of Jacob. He loved the young woman and spoke tenderly to her. So Shechem spoke to his father Hamor, saying, "Get me this girl for me, for my wife." Now, nagbukas ang chapter na ito sa anak na babae ni Jacob kay Leah, who went out to see the women of the land. Now, at first glance, mukha naman normal na lumabas ng bahay si Dinah para makipag-socialize sa mga kababaihan mismo sa land na yon, sa Shechem. Ngunit sa ancient Near East, ang single women of marrying age ay kadalasan ay accompanied either by her brothers or ng kanyang mga servants. Actually, napapansin pa rin natin yan sa panahon natin ngayon kapag naglalakad ka sa mall. Kapag nakita natin yung mga kaibigan natin, mga Arab Muslims, lahat sila magkakasama. Hindi lang isang babae, kundi kasama ibang mga kapatid, kundi yung tatay. May mga kasama silang iba. So, hindi kadalasan nag-iisa. So this could possibly mean that Dinah left their community without Leah's knowledge. Tumakas. Kung naalala ninyo ang sermon series natin sa Book of Ruth, I think that was way back in 2019. You can look at yung website natin and check the Book of Ruth. Sinabi ni Boaz, similar situation, sinabi ni Boaz kay Ruth sa chapter 2, na to keep close sa mga female and male servants niya. Kasi kung hindi niya magagarantee ang safety niya. So dapat magkakasama. Dito sa passage natin, mag-isa lang si Dinah. She left home without her mother or brother's permission. Maaring patakas, secretly habang hindi, busy yung mga tao. At dahil sa masasabi natin kapasawayang ito, nagbunga ito ng malaking problema. Just a side application to our young people who are here this morning. Young people, listen. Secrecy often increases vulnerability. When you hide where you go, when you hide who you are with, when you hide what you're doing, you remove the very safeguards God has placed in your lives. Independence without wisdom can expose you to real danger. Being open to your parents is not a restriction, but protection and guidance. God often uses family, the church, and trusted authority as means of preserving us from harm. As for Dinah, she went out, yun yung language, into a place that has placed her and everyone in danger. Maaring may mga nakilala si Dinah na kababaihan doon at pinakilala siya sa mga kaibigan nilang mga kalalakihan at napagkataon marahil siguro na nandoon si Shechem. Shechem saw her. By the way, si Shechem hindi ordinaryong tropa-tropa lang. Anak siya ng ruler. No? So, ruler ron, o tawag doon prince, si Hamor, parang equivalent po yan ng isang emir ng isang city. Anak siya noon. Shechem saw her. Yun yung language. Saw her. Now, hindi ito yung tipong napatingin lang siya nung napansin niya si Dinah o napasulyap lang ng ganon. Hindi po yun yung sinasabi dito na saw her. This is the same Hebrew verb used when David saw her. At sino yung her? Bathsheba. The same language. I compared it. 2 Samuel 11. Where David saw her, which means David stared at her. He stared at Bathsheba while she was bathing lustfully. She stared at her lustfully, na parang predator staring at its prey, ready to pounce. Ganun yung ibig sabihin ng saw her. So Shechem saw her. He lusted over her. Then, as he continues to meditate this in his heart and mind, he took her. Pansin niyo ba ang pattern dito? Tatlong sunod-sunod na verb ang ginamit. Nagsimula sa sinful sight, nag-ugat sa sinful desires, at nagbunga sa sinful actions. He saw and took. He saw and took. Hindi bago ito sa storya ng Genesis if we would look back and forward from this story. Sa Genesis chapter 3, before Adam and Eve fell into sin, Eve first started to lustfully look at the fruit. Sabi ko sa chapter 3, verse 3, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, she took. She saw, she took. Pagdating naman sa Genesis chapter 6, sabi doon, when the sons of God saw, the daughters of man were attractive, they took. Saw, they took as their wives any way they choose. In short, nirape nila. Saw and took. Shechem saw and took. Shechem's lustful gaze led to a horrific act that ultimately brought his destruction and everyone he cared about. Friends, what have you been looking at lately that is shaping your desires right now? Anong madalas mong tinitignan kapag ikaw na mag-isa? Sa cellphone? Habang nasa CR? Or somewhere private? Sa tablet? O kahit sa mismong imagination mo? Na alam mo sa sarili mo na hindi ka dapat na nandoon sa site na yon. Na dapat alam mo na hindi mo iniisip dapat yon. Na kung saan alam mo rin na hindi nakakalugod sa harap ng Diyos. If someone could see your screen history sa cellphone mo or your private thoughts, itong mga nakaraan na araw, sabi natin itong mga nakaraan na oras, what would they say is shaping your heart? A wise pastor once told me that adultery and sexually immoral acts starts from the head before it goes to the bed. Friend, sin promises satisfaction but produces destruction. Over promises. And it produces destruction. Di lamang sa buhay mo, pati na din ang tao na minamahal mo. Shechem didn't restrain himself. He saw, he took, he violated. Desire, when left unchecked, moves quickly from internal craving to external harm. From lustful desire to defilement. Pastor, wala naman problema rin. Wala naman ako inaagrabyado eh. Ako lang naman to. In my private moments, wala ako nasasaktan. Mas okay nga yun kesa gumawa ng ko ano-ano pa sa ibang tao. Maaaring hindi nagka-cause ng harm sa ngayon. Pero eventually it will. At ikaw ang unang-una masasaktan. Ang nangyari kay Dinah was dark. Hindi niya kasalanan yung nangyari sa kanya. What happened to her was wrong. Unjust. It was evil. Friend, if you are here this morning at meron kang similar experience pareho ni Dinah, know that you do not need to keep it to yourself. Know that you do not need to keep this in the dark. You need someone who will walk with you. What happened to you is not your fault. Maybe you're here today and you're blaming yourself sa nangyaring yun. It's not your fault. It was evil inflicted to you. Talk to one of the elders mamaya. Or one of our mature members, both female or male, we would like to talk to you. So verse 3, after Shechem violated Dinah, nagkaroon siya bigla ng change of heart. Interestingly, nagkaroon siya ng change of heart. At ang sinabi dyan sa passage, he loved her and tried to win her affection by talking tenderly sa kanya. Now, isa sa mga malaking question marks siguro sa isip niyo nung binasa niyo to. Meron kaming barkada nung high school ni Brother Bon. Yes, ka-age ko si Bon. restrain your thoughts. Kabatch ko siya. Sorry, Bon, nabukok na. Meron kaming barkada na kung saan mahilig i-express or ikwento yung mga crush niya. At ganito ang sinasabi niya, bro, ang ganda nun. Mahal ko na siya. Teka, kakasabi mo lang na siya isa, mahal ko rin yun. So, I was reading this and contemplating, alam kaya niya ang sinasabi niya rito? Maaring yun ang tingin niya, or maybe he has given into his passions. Maaring totoong love to, we don't know. Or maybe it's an infatuation. But one thing is for sure, naniniwala siya na very attached siya ngayon kay Dinah, to the point of trying to woo her. And sadly, probably you have not seen this, verse 17 and 26, hindi siya pinakawalan sa bahay. In a way, hostage siya. Kinidnap siya, at ngayon nandun siya sa bahay, hindi siya pinaalas. Probably he felt guilty dahil naiiba na yung nararamdaman niya kay Dinah. Spoke to his father and demanded. Ano sabi dyan? Gusto ko siya as my wife. It's a demand that his father arranged with the girl's family to him to marry her. Kasi iba to. Parang ganun ang dating. But that also gives you an idea kung anong klaseng mama ito, no? Nakukuha niya ang gusto niya. Kaya meron mamaya na comment ng narrator na sasabi na he is the most favored one. He is very respectable, honored. Kung anong gusto ng mamang ito, nakukuha niya. And thus, makikita natin yan sa negotiation na mangyayari sa number two, deception. So verses 5 to 7, nung nabalitaan ni Jacob ang nangyari sa kanyang anak na si Dinah, he did not say a word or do anything hanggang makabalik ang kanyang mga anak na nagtatrabaho pa sa field. Na kung mabasahin po natin to, at first it seems wise for Jacob to wait for his sons para hindi ma-distract sa trabaho. Inintay niya makabalik bago niya sabihin. But several scholars believed and agreed na wala talagang planong sabihin nito ni Jacob because he cared less. The narrator here seems to expose the attitude of Jacob and his relationship with his daughter and the weight of what had happened to her. Kung mapapansin ninyo sa passage, Jacob was not shocked nung nabalitaan niya ito. He was not angry or even showed a little bit of concern sa nangyari kay Dinah. We don't know kung sino nagbigay ng balita sa kanya, pero siguro mabilis kumalat ang balita sa maliit na city na meron sila. So, ni hindi nga niya hinanap kung nasaan. He was silent. He was silent and did nothing, which was an inappropriate response in a situation like this. He kept silent for the next 24 verses, which is interesting. Isa itong contrast sa verse 6. Look at verse 6 sa Bibles ninyo. Ang contrast ay yung pagan na tatay ni Shechem na si Hamor, na hinarap siya and spoke for his son. Na-concerned pa nga yung pagan na mamang ito sa anak niya kesa kay Jacob sa anak niyang babae. Bakit ganito ang response ni Jacob? Because Jacob did not care about Dinah's mother. He did not care about Leah. Nalaman niyo ba yan? His true love was Rachel. So itong attitude, that treatment niya kay Leah, trickled down sa lahat ng kanyang mga anak. Kung anong treatment kay Leah, ganun din sa mga anak na to. And we would get to see that next year. Joseph, ang paboritong anak. Bakit paborito si Joseph? Anak ng paborito niyang asawa, si Leah. Tine-check ko lang kayo. Good to know naka-open ang Bible niyo. Kasi naiwan ko yung Bible. Just so gracious. So he did not care. So verse 7, nung nabalitaan ng mga anak na lalaki ni Jacob ang nangyari sa kapatid nilang babae, they were grieved and very angry. You know what? Their response was appropriate. Appropriate yun, and even righteous. Hindi sila nanahimik, and they condemned such action against Dinah. The brothers understood that because Jacob had become Israel at Peniel, the rape of his daughter was a crime against the people of Israel. For the first time, they are addressed dito sa Bible as Israel. Kasi naiintindihan nila yun. At ito ang nakakalungkot po dito, Jacob did not stand for his daughter. Mas matindi pa ron, Jacob did not stand for his God. At ang pananahimik at pagiging passive ni Jacob just fueled all the more ang galit ng magkakapatid. Walang ginawa. Pansinin niyo yung encounter ni Hamor at Shechem kay Jacob at sa kanyang mga anak sa verses 8 hanggang 12. Look at your Bibles. But Hamor spoke with them, saying, "The soul of my son Shechem longs for your daughter. Please give her to him to be his wife. Make marriages with us. Give your daughters to us, and take our daughters for yourselves. You shall dwell with us, and the land shall be open to you. Dwell and trade in it, and get property in it." Shechem also said to her father and to her brothers, "Let me find favor in your eyes, and whatever you say to me, I will give. Ask for me great bride price, a bride price, and give as you will, and I will give whatever you say to me. Only give me the young woman to be my wife." I think we know what a bride price is. Na-encounter na natin yan kay Jacob when he worked 14 years for two brides. Nung humarap si Hamor at ang anak na si Shechem sa kanila, ang mapapansin nyo dyan, marami kayo pwede maobserban dito. Unang-una, there was no apology. There was no apology, no sign of sorrow, not even shame sa ginawa ng kanyang anak. As a matter of fact, hindi rin niya binanggit. Dahil para sa mga Canaanites, and this is kind of grotesque, no, for those of us who are not unaware, ang ginawa ni Shechem was not an act of atrocity or crime. It was, a matter of fact, an acceptable cultural norm or practice sa kanila. Which is very interesting. That's why parang wala lang. Sa ancient Near East, some would use rape to force a family into marriage arrangements. Dahil defiled na yung anak nyo, were forced na magpakasal. When I was younger, I hear about this nung bata kami, no? When I was younger. When I hear people, "Ah, nabuntis, pakasalan mo yan. Pakasalan mo ang anak mo." And whether magkakilala sila nung gabi yan o hindi, it doesn't matter. Of course, there are disadvantages to that. But it's about taking responsibility. Or, dahil mayaman yung family, they will force in rape. At walang choice ang families kundi intermarry para maging part sila ng family. In fact, may mga batas sa Bible, sa Old Testament, tulad ng Deuteronomy chapter 22, na nagre-regulate at nagpaparusa sa mga ganitong klaseng gawain. You can look that up in Deuteronomy later, 22, 28 to 29, or read the whole chapter. Kay Hamor immediately got down to business. That's why ganun na lang, walang sorry-sorry. He got down to business and asked to give his daughter Dinah to his son Shechem in marriage. At bilang kapalit, ito na yung offer, verse 9, magkakaroon ng intermarriage between the Israelites and the Shechemites. Basically, ang sinasabi niya dito, Jacob's family will be given the right of citizenship. Parang dito. No? Hindi sila nag-offer ng golden visa. Now, nakaka-relate tayo, nag-offer sila citizenship. Sino ayaw maging citizen ng napakaganda at prosperous na bansa ng UAE? Magiging citizen, magiging lokal ka dito. So parang yun ang sinasabi niya rito. Basically, ang sinasabi niya rito, you will be a citizen, kayo mga pamilya nyo. Kumbaga rito is, ito ang mangyayari sa'yo. Magkakaroon sila ng right to purchase any property they want, kahit saan, to trade to whom they want to trade, where they want, kung may tariffs man, tanggal lahat ng mga tariffs. Kasi citizen na kayo. And wala na mga, kumbaga, border, makakapasok kayo in and out, wala na masyadong scrutiny yung mangyayari. Citizen na kayo. Ang sinasabi niya dito, magiging economically beneficial ito para sa inyo kung tatanggapin ninyo yung treaty intermarriage na inaalok namin. So yun yung negotiations. So what's interesting dito, without him knowing it, without Hamor knowing it, he is basically offering everything God promised Jacob. People, land, blessings. Ang offer ni Hamor ay generous. Something that demands a longer conversation. Pero ito naman ang anak niyang si Shechem, being impatient, being a person na kukuha kagad ang gusto, sinundutan pa niya para mas makumpel na silang pumayag. No? Nag-offer siya ng kung ano man ang gusto ninyo, ibibigay ko. Di ba, Daddy? Ah, parang ngayon, gano'n pa. Siguro, ang dati, yun nga binigay ko, malaki na yun. Pero he's trying to entice them. Just maklose lang ang deal na ito. Now, we need to understand ang proposal of, for intermarriage ay isang kung matutuloy ito, isang malaking compromise sa Israel. It's a big compromise. Kung naalala niyo sa Genesis 19, ang pamangkin ni Abraham na si Lot ay nagsettle sa side ng Sodom at nakipag-intermingle sa mga tao roon. Ano nangyari? He became corrupt. Ang ino-offer na proposal for intermarriage kay Jacob ay isang temptation to draw much closer to the people of the land and to be one with them. Yun yung language, to be one with them. Kung tatanggapin niya ito, it would be another compromise para kay Jacob. Pero honestly, hindi nga kumikibo si Jacob dito. Ang intermarriage with the Shechemites would risk Israel's covenant identity by pulling them into the Canaanite practices, compromising their distinct calling to be holy, set apart. In short, they will be corrupt. Nasa kanila ang line ng Messiah, corrupt. Yung worship nila, corrupt. Yung morals nila, corrupt. Brothers and sisters, may mahalagang principle tayo na dapat makuha po dito. When believers in Christ intermarry with non-believers, it will place them in a spiritual disaster. When believers in Christ intermarry with non-believers, malaking compromise po ito. A believer should not pursue a marriage with a non-believer. Because marriage shapes the direction of one's worship, values, and obedience to Christ. It will eventually create deep tension in the faith, family life, and discipleship. Kung ikaw ay magpapakasal or magpurpose ng isang relationship na hindi mananampalataya. Instructions ni Paul sa 1 Corinthians chapter 7, to marry only in the Lord. E pastor, hindi ko pa naman pakakasalan, sinagot ko lang. Well, ang trajectory ng mga ganitong relationships is marriage. If you're trying to date someone for fun, baguhin po ninyo yun. You date someone kasi ang trajectory is marriage. You prepare for that. At you are dating someone na hindi mananampalataya, mapupunta ho tayo sa spiritual danger. Brothers and sisters, are you willing to compromise your walk with Christ for a relationship with a non-Christian? If you are in this kind of relationship right now, does your relationship now help you follow Jesus more faithfully? Or pull you away from Him? Are you praying for a spouse who loves Christ first, not just someone who will love you? I know sometimes there is pressure Wala nang time. Mga kasamahan ko, meron na. Lahat ng kabatch ko mismo nung high school, may mga apo na nga yung iba. Kaya ayaw ko umuwi sa Pilipinas sa mga reunion eh. Huwag ko tayo bumigay sa pressure po doon. In God's time. Trust in God's word. Again, I always say this, if you're not satisfied with Christ while you're single, you will never be satisfied with anything when you're married. Sabi sa verses 13 to 14, Jacob's sons answer Shechem and Hamor deceitfully dahil sa kagustuhan nilang maghiganti sa kanilang kapatid. Now, kung mapapansin ninyo, look at verse 13 to 14, kung mapapansin ninyo, sa buong chapter, there was no mention of God in the passage, as I said earlier. At tanging may kaugnayan lamang about God or anything related to God ay circumcision. Tama? Yun lang ang lumabas na isang sign ng Abrahamic covenant. Ang nakakalungkot po lang po dito, this was not used to demonstrate faithfulness to God, but instead became a tool of deception and vengeance. Nang galing ito sa mga, bakit nagsalita? Hindi nagsasalita yung tatay. Walang ginagawa ang tatay. Kami magsasalita rito. Kung ayaw mo tulungan ng kapatid, kami ang gagawa ng paraan dito. Pag-usapan natin ang circumcision. So parang yun ang nilabas nila. They have partially lied and used the key condition of the Abrahamic covenant na ang sinasabi, every male among you shall be circumcised. Makikita niya sa Genesis chapter 17. Kung si Hamor ay ginamit ang economic benefits ng intermarriage to close the deal and to entice them, ang mga anak ni Jacob naman ginamit ang religious condition ng circumcision, calling it, pag hindi nyo ginawa ito, is a disgrace sa lahi namin. Kung hindi sila mapapa-circumcise, all of this is wala baliwala sa amin. Ginagawa at ginamit ng magkapatid na ito, yung circumcision, not out of trying to be faithful with the Lord, but trying to deceive. In short, Jacob's sons masterfully used this as if to communicate na hindi pera ang dahilan kung bakit hindi matutuloy ang kasalan. So in short, they're giving that pressure. It's clear, they made it clear sa verses 15 to 16, tingnan ninyo, na ito lang ang kondisyon na papayag sila sa intermarriage. Kung lahat ng kalalakihan sa city would be circumcised. You see that in verses 15 to 16? That's the condition. Hindi namin kailangan ng pera nyo, kailangan namin faithfulness. Parang they're masking it. This has somehow built up pressure kay Hamor and Shechem kasi ang ino-offer nila yaman. At ang deal para magsara, ay kailangan lang magpatuloy. Sino may gusto noon time na yun marahil na inflicting yourself with pain? Hindi lang ikaw, buong city. Mga mama na nire-respeto kayo ng papagawa mo. Malamang napapaisip. Teka, yun ba ang kasunduan? Deal breaker ba to? Pag hindi natuloy, malamang oo. Malinaw na sinabi. Only para matuloy ito. Now, what's interesting ay yung sinabi nila sa verse 17. If they disagree, sila Shechem, pag nag-disagree sila sa ano. And you have to look at this. If you will not listen to us and be circumcised, then we will take our daughter and we will be gone. This somehow gives us a glimpse of the brothers' true feelings. Now, I was contemplating on this and trying to look at some sources, but it came to me na could it be na sinasadya ng mga magkapatid na ito na ilagay si Hamor at si ang kanyang anak na si Shechem sa isang sitwasyon na tatanggihan nila? They're putting them in a situation na para tumanggi sila. Why? So that if they do not agree, may reason sila to use force. Kasi if not, we will take our sister. And they know wala sa kanila ang sister. They know nasa kanila. And how well they're going to do that force. Could it be yun a situation? This somehow gives us a glimpse sa kanilang heart. Kasi later makikita natin na sa simula pa lang meron na silang murderous intent. Gusto nilang gantihan. At kung ito nga ang intention nila, marahil ay laking gulat nila sa verses 18 to 19 yung tinanggap. Verses 18 to 19, tinanggap, anong gagawin natin? Tinanggap ni Hamor and Shechem ang condition. Most probably because Shechem's deep affection kay Dinah. So verses 20 to 40, both father and son pumunta sa city gate. Bakit city gate? This is where the elders and prominent members of the city hold their meetings, discussions, negotiations, transaction, and where legalities happen. Dun yun mismo sa gate. Here, Hamor, the ruler of the city, proposed to the men of Shechem to become one people with Israel, setting circumcision as the final condition para maklose itong deal. Na malamang pag narinig ng mga mamang ito, nagulat sila. And again, in their culture, may mga pagan practices din na ginagawa yon before marriage. Pero this is different. Buong city. And it's a disgrace kung hindi gagawin yon. Here, Hamor, the ruler, asked for that. Interestingly, hindi niya binanggit ang personal reason ni Shechem. Sinabi niya, lahat magpupunta sa atin yan. We will be prosperous. Lahat ng meron lang magpupunta sa atin. We will have intermarry. We will have one baby. It will be great. They are peace-loving people. Yun ang akala niya. Hinighlight niya ang economic benefits na makukuha ng lahat kapag natuloy ang deal. In short, mas yayaman ka. Nakita niyo ba kung gaano kayaman yung mamang yun? Nakita niyo ilang hektar-hektar, dang-dang hektarya, lahat yung kanya, lahat ng mga alagang tupa, bakal, kanya lahat. Kamakailan binili yung lupa na nag-overprice tayo, binili niya. So they know this is a rich man. And then sabi niyang, magiging kapamilya na natin siya. So, yung kayamanan na nakikita niyo, mapupunta rin sa atin niya. So, in response, pumayag ang lahat. Nagpatuli lahat. Not knowing, ang pinirmahan nilang kasunduan would cost them everything, including their lives. Because, number three, they will face death. So, verses 25 to 31, makikita natin na lahat ng mga kalalakihan sa city ay nagpa-circumcise. At habang nagpapagaling sila sa mga after effects nito tulad ng inflammation or maaring infection dahil wala naman mga gamot na pareho meron natin ngayon. Sabi sa verse 25, while they felt secure. Nabasa niyo ba yan sa verse 25? While they felt secure or while they were unsuspecting that they were in danger. Somehow hinting na maaring madaling araw nangyari ito. Simeon and Levi attacked the city. Isa sa mga questions na lumabas sa aming Bible study group nung inaaral po namin ito is kung sila lang ba talagang dalawa ang sumugod sa city. Eh napakalaki ng city, napakaraming lalaki. Silang dalawa lang considering napatay nila lahat, na-plunder nila ang lahat, tapos silang dalawa lang. Ano kaya? Well, ang sagot po dyan, hindi nabanggit. We're not sure whether they came with some of their brothers and led a small army na sila'y nangunguna. Or whether silang dalawa lang talaga and they went from house to house in the middle of the night habang tulog, silently killing every man. Which verse 25 suggests. Maari yun niya. What is clear is this. The two of them initiated and carrying out a killing and stealing spree nung gabing yon. Verses 25 to 26, they have massacred all the men, including si Hamor and Shechem, and rescued their sister Dinah. Verse 27, they plundered the whole city. Verse 28, they took the flocks and their herds, their donkeys, and whatever was in the city and in the field. Verse 29, they had taken all their valued possessions and their women and children. The whole city was decimated. British Old Testament scholar Gordon Wenham observes that the narrative is structured in a way that if Shechem raped Dinah, sabi niya, Then Simon and Levi, in return, raped the city. Mga kaibigan, ganito katotoo ang Bible. The Bible does not spare its readers of its awful truth. Gaya ng nabanggit kanina, hindi nagsalita si Jacob sa lahat ng pangyayari kay Dinah at deceitful negotiations ng kanyang mga anak. Isang beses lang nagsalita si Jacob dito. Isang beses lang. At dito, mas nakita kung ano ang tunay na nilalaman ng puso niya, kung ano ang tunay na spiritual na condition ni Jacob dito. Verse 30. Then Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, "You have brought trouble on me by making me stink to the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites and the Perizzites. My numbers are few, and if they gather themselves against me and attack me, I shall be destroyed, both I and my household." Jacob said nothing about Dinah being raped. He said nothing about compromising intermarriage. He said nothing about abusing the rights of circumcision. He said nothing about the breach of contract. He said nothing about the genocide of all the men in the city of Shechem. He said nothing about capturing women and children and plunder. Voila! And now Jacob confronts and scolds his son in anger? Ang dahil sa mga consequences ng kanilang ginawa? At ang anong reason? Because now he's unpopular sa mga nations. Jacob was not concerned about Dinah's rape, or the intermarriage of Simeon and Levi that they agreed on. He doesn't care about the murder of the men in Shechem. He was only concerned about his reputation and self-preservation. And in rage, his sons replied. So verse 31. "Should he treat our sister like a prostitute?" Moses did not record any response from Jacob after nila sinabi yun. Marahil siguro, dahil wala. Wala siyang nasagot. Because this statement is loaded. Hugot to. Hugot itong statement. Bakit hindi nakakibo si Jacob? Kasi alam ng lahat, kasalanan ni Jacob lahat to. And he knows it. Kaya hindi siya nakasagot. Early on, his faith was at the peak nung nandun siya sa Peniel. He struggled with God and man and prevailed. God gave him a new name, a new identity. God gave him a new walk as a sign that he is trusting the Lord in his weakness. Was reconciled to his brother Esau. Everything was going well by God's grace until he once again deceived Esau by saying, "Susunod ako sa Seir, mauna ka na lang." Imbis na dumiretso sa Bethel where God wanted him to be, he went to Succoth, which is outside the promised land. And when he went to Canaan, isang araw na lang sanang lakbay papuntang Bethel, nag-stop over at tumilaho siya sa prosperous city ng Shechem. Konting-konti na lang ang biyahe, nandun na siya sa Bethel. His partial obedience, which is really disobedience, got everyone in trouble, and if he had fully obeyed the Lord, none of this maaari ay hindi mangyayari. Bakit ko sinabi na loaded ang sagot ng mga anak niyang lalaki? Notice verse 31. They called Dinah our sister. The narrator all throughout the passage ay sinasabing his daughter, Jacob's daughter, to emphasize na anak niya to at wala siya kang ginawa. Dahil the brothers, hindi nila ginamit your daughter, our sister. Dahil the brothers have seen how he treats their mother. Leah as they were growing up, knowing he doesn't love and care about their mother, knowing that he doesn't care about them. He is a passive father. He has not led them well, nor has he been a good role model sa kanila. Nakikita nilang laging may favor ay mismo yung kay Joseph. Yun nga lang pinapila sa harapan mismo ni Iso. Inuna sila. Do you remember that from last week? Hindi sila ganun ka-priority. Kita nyo yung nag-iipon, nag-galit. Yung kapatid namin, hindi mo talaga anak to, kapatid namin to. Tinanggalan na nila ng otoridad. Hindi na nila ginagalang si Jacob sa time na to. Nawala ang respeto nila kay Jacob. At makikita yan hanggang chapter 50. But there's redemption. We need to wait kasi God will redeem this family. Ganda ang story na to. So they are saying in effect, maaaring hindi mo siya itinuring na anak, pero kapatid namin siya. Anak siya ng nanay namin. At hindi kami papayag na turingin siyang bayaran. Yun ang nangyayari yun sa negotiation. Parang nagbabayad ng prostitute. Oh, magkakaroon ba? Kulang ba yan? They were offended. And they were restrained noong time na yon. So they are saying that. Hindi na siya nirespeto ng kanyang anak. That's why they took the initiative. Jacob failed to love, care, and protect the women God entrusted to his life. Physically and spiritually. If si Abraham at Isaac lacked faith and called their wives sisters, ito naman kay Jacob ito. Jacob, in his lack of faith, became fearful at makasarili. Naging passive. Sa storyang ito, wala tayong makita kung hindi sin escalating and sin multiplying. This is indeed a dark passage. So mga Christian fathers who are here today, listen, as I address even myself, a father's silence is never neutral. It shapes the home. Let me say that again. A father's silence or passivity is never neutral. It shapes the home. Christian fathers must not be silent when their families are about to face moral and spiritual crisis. We are called to be the first voice of biblical truth, first voice of biblical wisdom, first voice of biblical direction in the home. Not passive observers when things go wrong. And when things go wrong, doon tayo magagalit. Hindi ka nga nagsalita ngayon, ikaw pa ang galit. Parang si Adam, who was silent. And when everything went down, it is the woman that you gave me. Blames God, you gave me, and the woman. Genesis chapter 34 leaves us with a disturbing picture of escalating and multiplying sin. A violated daughter, a deceived city, violated, violent retaliation, and a father who speaks too late, too little. The chapter is dark and unsettling, but this passage also prepares us to feel the need for something. Something or someone greater. Because if Jacob's family cannot bring justice without corruption, and if human leaders cannot respond rightly to evil, then we are left asking, where will true justice come from without becoming injustice itself? Wala tayong makikita na hero sa Genesis 34. In fact, it exposes the absence of one. And that silence pushes us forward, pushes us beyond Genesis 34 into the redemptive history ng Bible, where God does not remain silent or passive in the face of sin. Instead, He sends a righteous Redeemer, His Son, Jesus, who does not ignore evil, does not minimize sin, does not retaliate unjustly. Jesus, who was unjustly judged, by sinful men, was executed on a criminal's cross. He willingly gave His life on the cross, bearing our sin and shame and the wrath of God in our place. Christ died for you and me. And now, through His death, burial, and resurrection, He calls us to respond not with silence, not with deception, not with revenge, but repentance and faith in Christ. Turning from sin and trusting the only one who brings true justice without corruption. In other words, Genesis 34 shows us what human hands do with sin and drives us to Christ, the only one who can truly deal with our sins. So I urge you, mga kaibigan, magsisi na po tayo sa ating kasalanan at ilagay ang ating pananampalataya kay Kristo bilang Diyos at tagapagligtas. Genesis 34 ends with silence and ruins. God is not mentioned. It can feel like God is absent from the story. But even in that silence, God has not abandoned His covenant promise to Jacob's family. Pansin niyo, of all of this messiness, they still live. Who do you think gave that weird in love factor mismo kay Shechem? Paano kaya napapayag sa deal ang mag-ama at ang buong city na gawin ito? Who was the person protecting them? In the midst of sin, God is sovereign. God preserved His people. At hindi lang yon, pinayaman pa niya lalo. The chapter leaves us unsettled, yet still reminded that God is at work, even when He is not seen or spoken of. At totoo rin po ito, mga kapatid, sa ating buhay. You may be in that dark season right now, and you feel that God is silent. Panatilihin na lang natin doon, you feel. Doesn't mean you feel it's true. Don't trust your feelings. Trust on the promises that the God who saved you will persevere you. And one day everything will make sense. Everything, our worship to Him will be sweeter when He returns. Because despite human sin, God faithfully fulfills His promise. Kung nandito po kayo ngayong oras na ito, and you think you are in an unrepentant sin, I urge you to repent and turn to Christ.